Good morning. Our first case this morning is United States against Alston. Counsel for the defense, you may proceed.
May it please the court, Lieutenant Colonel Jonathan Potter, along with Major Pete Cagliari, on behalf of the appellant, Specialist John Alston. As this court made clear in United States v. Jones, an accused has a constitutional right to know exactly what he is to defend against solely from what he is charged with. Only through the elements test has an accused provided notice that an offense is a lesser included of another. Thus, to be a lesser included offense, aggravated sexual assault must be a subset of rape by force, indeed a narrower offense, and clearly so, not based upon subjective judgment. The Army Court erred in affirming appellant's conviction of aggravated sexual assault precisely because they made the sort of subjective judgment that aggravated sexual assault was a lesser included offense by rape by force that this court prohibited in Jones. To be a lesser-included offense, the lesser-included offense must be a subset of the greater. Looking at the elements of the offense at issue in this case, aggravated sexual assault is not a subset of rape by force. While both offenses share the same first element, they differ on the second. Rape by force requires the use of force against a person, while aggravated sexual assault requires causing bodily harm, which is an offensive touching, however slight. Thus, aggravated
quantum of power is necessary to differentiate an offensive touching from force?
Your Honor, the case law is not clear on what quantum there is. Some of the Seventh Circuit cases talk about, you know, a physical idea of force. Flores, for example, Judge Easterbrook's decision talks about that. But what's important here is that offensive touching is a brush of the cheek, a poke of the chest. And force is something more distinct. It's something narrower.
It's narrower legally or narrower as a matter of physics or both?
Or both, Your Honor.
Okay.
It's a narrower concept than touching, mere touching. And that's what we had in this case.
Or is it enough in your estimation that the elements of one say force and the elements of another say offensive touching?
Under Jones, that's enough, Your Honor.
Because they use different words.
Different words, yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
In fact, our view is that essentially elements test says the greater offense is A, B, and C, and the lesser offense is A, B. It's just that's how strict the elements test is. The Army Court inverted their analysis in this case and also determined that force and bodily harm are conceptually the same. In doing so, the Army Court erred.
So you would actually do it the other way. You'd say force is a lesser included of bodily harm.
No,
I'm not,
Your Honor.
You're not really required to concede that, but I'm just...
No, Your Honor, I think it's just two different, totally different concepts. But if you were to look at the elements test, there may be an argument for that, but I don't think so because they're two different concepts. One is force, one's bodily harm. You cannot mix the two.
So you've made two arguments. One is narrower than the other, and there's an apple and an orange argument.
That's absolutely, Your Honor. But when we look at the elements test, it makes it easy to just see that one's a much broader concept and one's a much narrower concept. But it is an apple and an orange also, Your Honor. The Army Court inverted this analysis and relied on a case called King from 1959. King is a case decided by this court pre-Schmuck. So they didn't apparently employ the elements test at all in that case. In fact, if you look at the opinion in King, they rely on two other opinions, McVeigh and Walker, and there's a lot of discussion of subjective analysis, terms like liberality of interpretation in determining whether an offense is a lesser included or of another, and reasonably informed and accused is another term used in that opinion. And that's not what the elements test requires anymore. The elements test requires notice to an accused, and that notice must be clear. As this court made clear in Jones, particularly at page 472 in the Westlaw text, the practice of defining LIOs by the elements test is preferable and more sound than relying on the subjective judgment of trial and appellate judges as to whether elements line up realistically. As this court also made clear in Jones, the cases support that subjective practice, which the government do not support the subjective practice that the government advocates, particularly Foster, Hudson, Schofield, which have been overruled by this court in the United States v. Jones. Aggravated sexual assault is indeed not a lesser included offense of rape by force, an appellant's conviction cannot stand.
Could you give us an illustration of bodily harm that would not be lesser than force?
That would not be lesser? Your brush of your cheek, Your Honor. Poke of the chest. Those are forms of bodily harm that are not at all forceful. So
they're not lesser. They're just a wholly different.
Totally different concept. Yes, Your Honor. It's apples and oranges, as Judge Baker, his example was.
And what case stands for the proposition that the words have to be identical for purposes of the elements test?
Nothing. We would say that Jones stands pretty close to that proposition, that the words have to be identical. There may be some variances in the phrasing of the statute.
Well, were the statutes in Jones similar at all?
No, they weren't, Your Honor.
I mean, isn't comparing the offenses at issue in Jones apples as compared to the oranges in this case?
The offenses were similar in that they were sexual offenses, Your Honor, so there was that similarity.
Well,
but one was a 134 offense, and the other one was a 120 offense, Your Honor.
And so what was alleged to be a lesser-included offense indeed contained elements that were just not similar to the other offenses but were completely different, didn't it?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear
that. I said that in that case, the elements of what was alleged to be the lesser-included offense were completely different than the elements of the charged offense.
That's correct, and we believe the elements in this offense are completely different as well, Your Honor.
I mean, isn't that the question, whether they're completely different or not?
That's correct, Your Honor, it is. And one is bodily harm is a broader concept.
Did Jones use the completely different test?
No, it did not, Your Honor.
Did it suggest that the language in the LIO statute, the discussion of the LIO statute that talked about lesser forms of culpability or lesser forms of mens rea, did it suggest that was wrong?
No,
or
it did not.
Or inconsistent with Schmuck?
That it did not talk about culpability, Your Honor, and it didn't talk about mens rea.
Has the Supreme Court in its more recent cases on the elements test been that formalistic in its discussions as to what is an element?
They have been, in our view, fairly formalistic. Yes, Your Honor. You have to look at the element. It can't be an apple and an orange. You can't charge with somebody with something that is, in fact, narrower, and then convict him of something, in fact, which is broader. If you look at Styrone and Dunn, which are two cases that deal with the grand jury process and grand jury indictment, that's what the Supreme Court said in those two cases, which is it's important that the accused be put on notice of the offense for which he is charged.
So if one offense says knowingly and another offense says willfully, would you say that those elements aren't, that one cannot be an LIO of the other?
Yes, we would, Your Honor.
Okay. Do you have circuit precedent or Supreme Court precedent that supports that position?
We could provide that.
I'd be very interested to see that.
Okay, Your Honor. We'll see if we can provide that later. There are no further questions.
Thank you, counsel. Counsel for the government.
Chief Judge Efron, judges of the court, may it please the court, my name is Captain Madeline Yefford, and I, along with Major LaJean White, represent the United States in this matter. The military judge properly instructed the panel that aggravated sexual assault was a lesser included offense of rape by force because the elements of aggravated sexual assault are necessarily included in the greater charged offense of rape by physical force. According to Article 79 of the UCMJ, an accused may be found guilty of an offense that is necessarily included in the offense charged. The Supreme Court ruled in Schmuck versus United States that a comparison must be drawn between offenses and that one offense is not necessarily included in another unless the elements of the lesser offense are a subset of the elements of the charged offense. Further, this court concluded in U.S. v. Jones that a lesser included offense must be determined with reference to the offense, to the elements defined by Congress for the greater offense. Therefore, in applying a de novo standard of review as to whether the military judge erred in giving his instruction, we must go back to an analysis of the elements of each offense. The appellant agrees that there is only one element at issue. For both rape by force and aggravated sexual assault, each requires that the appellant caused another person to engage in a sexual act. So appellant argues improperly that force and bodily harm are two separate and distinct concepts that should not be conflated. Rape by force requires the use of force against another person versus aggravated sexual assault, which requires causing bodily harm to another person. With regards to the Schmuck analysis, as supported by this court in Jones, the elements comparison requires whether or not the lesser included offense is necessarily included in the greater offense by taking a look at the words, the definitions, and the meanings behind those words.
I have a question to ask you about the text of Article 120A. There's one, which is using force against that other person, and then there's two, causing grievous bodily harm to any person. Are those the same? Are they both required, or is only one required?
Your Honor,
in the government's view, is it one or both? Does it require both that there be a sex act that both is using force and causes grievous bodily harm, or only one or the other?
No, Your Honor, only one or the other.
So what then, why do you suppose if causing bodily harm is a subset of force, if they have causing grievously bodily harm under subsection 120A2?
Yes, Your Honor. Grievous bodily harm is specifically defined under the rape statute as severe bodily injury, which is made distinct from the definition of bodily harm under aggravated sexual assault.
Well, and you would agree that causing bodily harm is a clear subset of causing grievous bodily harm, wouldn't you?
Not necessarily, Your Honor. If, in fact, grievous bodily harm could potentially be the greater charged offense. Yes, Your Honor. If offensive touching is defined as any offensive touching, however slight, that could be a subset of grievous bodily harm.
So if force and bodily harm are the same thing, why do you suppose that Congress broke them out into two different ways in which rape could be accomplished?
Force and bodily harm, Your Honor, are not the same thing. This is with regards to a greater charged offense, and there's a specific definition in the MCM as to what rises to actual force.
Well, if you just said that force and bodily harm are not the same thing, if that's the case, you lose, right?
No, Your Honor. This is in regards to greater charged offense versus lesser included offense. With regards to bodily harm being more expansive and that bodily harm can't occur without force occurring is not necessarily the Schmuck analysis. The Schmuck analysis requires that we ask, can you commit the greater charge offense without first having committed the lesser included offense?
Well, and I think it's clear that you can't accomplish rape by causing grievous bodily harm without causing bodily harm.
Yes.
Right? It's less clear to me how you cannot accomplish rape using force without causing bodily harm if we are to assume, which is a normal way of doing statutory construction, that one and two mean different things, that they're aimed at different conduct.
Force and grievous bodily harm are aimed at different conduct, Your Honor?
Yes.
Yes, Your Honor.
And so, as a matter of logic, if bodily harm is a subset of grievous bodily harm, wouldn't you then think that it's not necessarily a lesser included form of using force when force is defined in ways that does not necessarily include touching at all?
Not necessarily, Your Honor, because again, if we're lining up the elements of force as defined in the MCM versus bodily harm as defined in the MCM, the question is first, could you commit the greater offense without committing the lesser? And second, is the appellant on constitutionally sufficient notice of what he is required to defend against when he is charged by rape by physical force? In this particular case, the appellant was put on sufficient constitutional notice that he was being accused of engaging in a sexual act by using force.
Well, actually, the charge sheet actually says by using power or strength or restraint.
Yes, Your Honor.
So is it those words do those words satisfy the notice function? Is that what you're saying?
Not in its entirety, Your Honor. We're saying that the charge sheet itself allows the accused to take a look and understand where in the statute by which he has to apply the elements analysis. Those words are thereby contained in the definition of physical force in the MCM under Article 120.
How do you answer the appellant's contention that you got to line up the words? You got to line up the words in the statute, and if one isn't included in the other, it doesn't cut. Yeah, because you seem to be sort of veering off into necessarily included, and I realize that term is statutory, but necessarily included as this, as it was interpreted by this court pre-Jones, back in the 90s, when we did kind of conflate the two.
Yes, Your Honor. With regards to the Schmuck test, in particular, there's a comparison between statutory elements. So it's not, the appellant does cite a Seventh Circuit case, U.S. v. Boyles, that talks about the paramount inquiry in the elements-only test is the meaning of the words. And the test requires that the court place the statutes defining the greater and the lesser side by side, interpret the statutes creating the greater and lesser offenses, and finally to compare those elements. The distinction is force is a legally more serious offense, where bodily harm or any offense of touching is a legally less serious offense. And so inherently, any time rape by force occurs, there is in fact an offense of touching based on
the law. Well, isn't it the case that there's ways in which force is defined that don't include any touching at all, right? The use or the display of a dangerous weapon, for example, or the suggestion of a dangerous weapon, you'd agree that those don't involve any touching?
Yes, Your Honor.
I mean, is your argument that because it was the way it was charged in this case, that it required power or strength, the restraint applied to her person, that necessarily involves a touching?
Yes, Your Honor. The appellant was on specific notice as to the type of physical force against which he was being charged. And additionally, if he was charged in, alternatively, Article 120, rape by force, he would be on notice of all three theories of the types of force, and thereby physical force would be included as well. If he was, in fact, specifically charged with rape by using a dangerous weapon, then the LIO in that instance may not apply.
So does it depend, I'm asking you, does your argument in this case depend in part by the way that it was charged?
Yes, it does, Your Honor.
And would you agree that if it just said force, that it would not necessarily include offensive touching?
No, Your Honor. If it said rape by force, then all three definitions of force, the accused is on notice of all three definitions of force to include physical force, and thereby the LIO would also apply in that instance.
And what case do you rely on for that proposition?
We can provide a supplemental citation in the court.
Counsel, is that case before us now? In other words, is it necessary for us to decide in this case that a charge of rape by force with nothing more in it necessarily carries the LIO of the rape by bodily harm in this case?
No, Your Honor, not in this case.
Excuse me, the aggravated assault by bodily harm?
Yes, Your Honor.
So in this case, the charge involved using power, strength, or restraint applied to her person, sufficient that she could not avoid or escape the sexual conduct. Is there any circumstance in which power, strength, restraint applied to a person sufficient she could not avoid or escape sexual conduct would not also involve an offensive touching?
No, Your Honor, there is not. Not with regards to the definition as it is in the MCM. The MCM particularly defines force as action to compel submission or overcome resistance by physical strength, power, or restraint applied to another person, which presumes the physical contact. And if, in fact, there was not an offensive touching, there would be no resistance to overcome. So it is the government's argument that at any time there is physical force used, as defined in the MCM, there is, in fact, an offensive touching that occurs. And for this reason, the appellant was on sufficient notice that because he was accused of...
And that comes from the charge, though, and not from the elements, correct? Just to be clear.
I'm not sure I understand your question.
The use of power and so on, is that in the element?
It comes from the statute itself, Your Honor. That definition is statutorily defined, and then the pleadings or charge sheet was by which the appellant was put on notice as to what part of the statute upon which we have to look at the elements to determine.
So your argument is based on the elements of the offense, not on the charge sheet itself. It so happens that the charge sheet happens to incorporate the elements. Is that?
Yes, Your Honor. And the distinction is still applying the objective elements test, but going back to the court, this court's decision in U.S. v. Jones, in which the court said the charge sheet gives content to that general language of the statute, thus providing the required notice of what an accused must defend against. So in essence, it's a pinpoint reference for the accused to understand where in the statute he needs to look with regards to applying the elements test. In this particular instance, the military judge had a sua sponte duty to instruct the panel on the lesser included offense in issue if some evidence was presented upon which the panel might choose to rely in making its findings. And in this case, the victim testified that she was digitally penetrated in such a manner that she was sore for days afterwards due to the aggressive manner of the penetration. In contrast, the appellant testified that she did not say no and did not ask him to stop, and that he misinterpreted her movements as her enjoying the act itself. So the fact and issue which the military judge instructed upon was the degree of force that was applied in those particular circumstances.
So would it be the government's view that if the military judge had ruled according to the defense theory in this case, but in a case in which the defense wanted the LIO instruction, that a judge in that case would have erred?
No, Your Honor.
That is, if, I'm not talking about this case, but assume a hypothetical in which the military judge sees all the evidence in this case, and the military judge, instead of instructing as the judge did here, would interpret the statute as the defense now suggests, that is, that there is no LIO. In that case, would the judge have erred in not giving the defense, let's say defense requested the instruction, of an LIO instruction in that case? Would that be an error on the part of the military judge?
Yes, Your Honor, potentially in that hypothetical, that the LIO itself is necessarily included, and if the military judge did not instruct, particularly if defense requested it, that could potentially be an error. The question further in appellant's case is not whether bodily harm rises to the level of physical force, but in contrast, if the element of bodily harm is necessarily included in the greater charge defense of rape by force. And in this instance, and in every instance, in lining up the elements of rape by physical force, every application of physical force does require an offense of touching. There are no further questions, if I may briefly conclude.
Please.
Aggravated sexual assault is a lesser included offense of rape by force because the element of bodily harm is a necessarily included but legally less serious element of physical force as defined in the statute. And the facts of this case provided reasonable evidence for the military judge to instruct on the lesser included offense. For these reasons, the findings and the sentence should be upheld. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Does the defense have rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor. The government said that force always involves an offensive touching. There are two examples that clearly show that isn't true: constructive force and also the use of a weapon. The appellant in this case could have used a weapon to hold the purported victim in the room and never touched her at all.
But that's not what the charge sheet says, is it? It says using power or strength or restraint applied to a person.
Power, strength, or restraint applied to a person could be restraining her by holding a weapon to her, Your Honor. According to the manual, that would be sufficient under that charge to power, strength, restraint. It doesn't further clarify. So that is one way that they could have charged this. Once again, we're talking about bodily harm versus physical force. They are two different concepts. One is much broader than the other. The appellant, even at trial, said, if we'd have known that this was a lesser included offense, we would have prepared our trial strategy differently. And that's what clear that there's two different concepts at work here. One is
because they
than
said
the other
those
one.
Words at trial. That makes
no,
it
Your
clear.
Honor. But if you look at the other cases cited by the appellant, where the Supreme Court looks at, for example, Armed Career Criminal Act cases, cases involving the Immigration Nationality Act. Those cases show that the Supreme Court and other courts have looked at these concepts differently, and one is, in fact, broader than the other one. And if you commit a force that involves a bodily harm, doesn't necessarily mean you commit offense that involves force. So it shows that
in those cases, were the terms defined precisely that they were in the statute in this case? I mean, the way that it's defined in this case, I mean, it seems fairly clear that one of the ways in which force is defined and the way in which the charge sheet was laid out in this case makes it pretty clear that it involves a touching.
Well, Your Honor, if you look at the statute itself, there are two different prongs to rape. One is the grievous bodily harm, which we would agree would be a lesser included offense if they would have charged grievous bodily harm in this case. And the facts would have worked out that it was just bodily harm. We wouldn't be here today, but that's not how they charge it. They charge him with rape by force. And that is a different concept than the bodily harm. And in fact, it's a broader concept, so it cannot be a subset of rape by force. Thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel. We thank both counsel for your presentation today. The case is now submitted, and the court will be in recess until 10 a.m.